You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 35. Hi, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I am fantastic. Please introduce yourself.
All right. Hi, I'm George Brandt, and stream Roman Holiday, my new EP, on all social media platforms. I'm going to do a shameless self-plug right there.
Right off the bat. I love it. This is what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we got to do. And this is who I am, and this is what you got to do. That's it. That's it. That's all we want. That's all we want is fame. Love it. I just throw back immediately. Gaga.
That's
fame.
What I was gonna say. Gaga said it best herself.
She said it best. Queen, goddess, Godga. Uh-huh. I also love Godney. Brittany.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's amazing. All right. So, George, please tell us exactly where we can find you on social media before we get into anything else.
Yeah, so I am on Instagram. It's George_Brandt. Mm-hmm. And then I do, if you still use Facebook, I have a Facebook page as well, George Brandt.
Under George Brandt.
Yes.
I have a Facebook page as well. It is not by no means active, but I still get people like random likes, like randomly, and I'm like, I have not posted since maybe May of this year. It's not active, and I really want to correct that, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I have mine set up so that anytime I post on Instagram, it also goes to Facebook. So it's kind of like a
double-edged sword.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, not a double-edged sword, but no, I know what you said. I know what you said.
Two things. I kill two birds with one stone is kind of what I do.
I used to have a Twitter and an Instagram like that from my whatever post on Instagram would go to Twitter, but I stopped that because it was like just linking it. And I was like, but I want the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that happens. That's why I don't have it connected to Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like the app was called If This Then That, and it was supposed to post from Instagram to Twitter.
Yeah.
Like literally to Twitter, the picture. And it wasn't working like that. So I had to cut that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. We can find you on all those social media platforms, and we will say that at the end as well, and it'll be in the description box when it's on YouTube. Hello. And it will also be on the description box for wherever you stream your podcasts, like Mind Made Wrong. Hello, I am Steel Maggie. I did not get to say that because you were fabulous.
Sorry,
you just went
right into it. So.
I love it. It's no one needs to know who I am. Okay. All right. So let's just get into it. We want to hear your origin story. How did George Brandt become George Brandt?
Yeah. So I grew up in a small town in northern Indiana. And I actually didn't think about pursuing a career in music until my senior year of high school. I had always written songs and, you know, did my own little garage band recordings of them, but I actually was going to pursue film. And I came out to California, to LA, my junior year to go to some film schools. And once I was at those film schools, I realized that that was not something that I wanted to pursue necessarily. And I realized actually the thing that I like about films is the music that's put into films. Yeah. And so I still love to make films, but it was definitely more about the music for me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, why am I not just going for music? And that's really what brought me to the conclusion of wanting a career being a songwriter and a composer and honestly a pop star.
Don't we all? Mm-hmm. See, there's the bird.
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone who watches these everyone who watches these interviews knows that there's going to be a bird.
A bird that sounds.
If you are live, like with me in my house, there's going to be a bird at some point. But the bird. All right. So what made you come out here? Like to be out here? Just you're in California now.
Honestly, I had such a like yearning for something different, and I knew that I had a bigger calling than where I was at. And it kind of led me here, and everything worked out to bring me out here. And that's pretty much what I've done ever since, is just listen to the little voice in here telling, you know, urging me to go forward in this or that direction. You know, that's pretty much what I listen to.
Okay, let's talk about that little voice when it comes to your songwriting and your recent projects. What happened? How did you realize that you could write well? Because that's one of the things I've been talking to songwriters about, is that what made you understand and kind of know in your heart? Was it that little voice that you can actually make a career out of this?
You know, I actually don't have that confidence as a songwriter.
I don't
really have the confidence that I am good at it. I guess I am, because people listen to my stuff and people tell me that I am, but that's something that I really struggle with, is having confidence in my art and in myself, because I don't feel like I am the type of songwriter, like you see Lana Del Rey and you think she's a songwriter, or like John Lennon or Leonard Cohen, like all of those people. I don't feel that way about myself. Like, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I know that I can write and I can, you know, I'm really good at writing hooks and melodies and stuff like that. But yeah, I often doubt my songwriting a lot, and I'm working on that. I'm working on my confidence in myself.
I got you there. Yeah. That's. I'm sorry I threw you off guard with that question.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, it's like, yeah, no, it's totally fine.
This is a podcast not just about mental health, but also about creativity, and how that plays into our mental health, and how they have their relationship. They have a very direct, you know, correlation. So part of that is, I want to know how the artists I interview, how they see themselves, and how they see themselves as the, you know, the gods and goddesses of their own creativity. You know, who's your muse? What is your muse?
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't have to be any artist, really. It's just, I'm actually taking this interview a different direction at first. I'm moving differently today, folks.
My muse. I often, like, I find my best writing comes from the past, and history. Especially my own history. I'm such a nostalgic person. Like, I love that aesthetic of, you know, nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And so I often am inspired by, like, the whole, like, you know, because there is really, like, an aesthetic of high school and, like, teenage years. And I'm really drawn to that when I write, because I think about how I felt at that age. And the music that I listened to at that age, and I try to capture all of those feelings again, because I often struggle with the fact that I am getting older. I would not say that I am old.
Absolutely.
I am 22
not.
Years old. but I mean, I am, like, I'm not 17, and that's, like, the age that sometimes I feel like I am frozen in time at. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a lot of the experiences that I draw upon. So I would say that is my muse, is the past. And, yeah, really just trying to get back the time sometimes, which is where a lot of my newer projects that I'm working on are really coming from, is that point in time. Even if it wasn't my life, like, just looking at an old picture and trying to make a story out of like an old picture that you see from like the 70s or
wow, like, oh my
that's
gosh,
that's what I try and
a story starter. That's a fire starter. That's a trick. I'm gonna use that. Like write a song about like a picture, you
well,
know, like,
when I was
or what's happening in that picture.
Yeah, yeah. when I was little, like elementary school, I would write stories just from nothing, like just looking at pictures, and I'm a very visual person, and so that's where a lot of my songwriting came from, was writing stories and writing just like little like paragraphs of stuff. But yeah, that's where my songwriting really comes from.
You know, I think that's where you kind of thought that maybe you wanted to go to film school.
Yeah.
Because it sounds, and when, okay, so you have to listen to his music because it's so cinematic and it's so dramatic. It's just like me. It's just like my shit. If you like my shit, which you do, then you're gonna like then you will like George Brandt's Beautiful Music. But I think that's, you know, you write so cinematically and you were writing those stories and you tell a story with your music. That's exactly how I write. I love that's how you write, because it's like that's exactly how I write. There's an entire like narrative behind everything, whether it's like something that I've dreamt up or something that has come from the past or something, or a marriage of the two. So what would you say is from your from Roman Holiday, mm-hmm. your most personal song?
Oh man, Roman Holiday.
Well,
the title
okay
track.
The title track,
the title
perfect
track. Because when I was writing all of the songs and putting them together in this project that I wanted to do, I didn't even have Roman Holiday at the time. Like, I didn't know what it was going to be called. I didn't know what it was going to be about. And one day I sat down and I was feeling very raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this song. You know, I wrote Roman Holiday, and that it just like clicked that this is going to be like the title of the EP. And this is going to be what it's going to be centered around, because like it really just encapsulates everything that I was going through with all of these other songs that I wrote. Like all of them can be defined by this one like word, Roman Holiday. Like it's, the definition is getting pleasure out of somebody else's pain. And it's like, I really resonate with that. I really resonate with that. And then also it's like kind of a cool thing, because people who are listening are kind of getting pleasure out of the pain that I've experienced. So it's like I was doing a double thing right there.
Oh, yeah. you did it on
that's what I was trying to do. But yeah, so that's my most personal one, because it's not just about one specific thing. It's kind of about all of my feelings about different situations, about growing up, about heartbreak, about family problems, about, you know, internal feelings. Like it's all of that into one song. And so I would say that that's my most personal to date.
Perfect. Okay. Let's talk about, if you will, some of those themes.
Okay.
So, what's the most central theme in, that comes from either the family trouble or the mental health, or in that pushed you to write, put all of those feelings into that one song? Can we talk about that?
Yeah. It was really the driving force of that was leaving home and journeying onto uncharted territory that is LA and being by yourself, moving across the country without anything and without anybody, is just such a like hard thing to do that I didn't realize, until I came out here. And it just, I got hit in the face with life pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so the driving force is being on your own, losing everything, and having to rebuild yourself from having nothing to where I'm at now, which is, I mean, I don't have everything,
right,
but like,
right.
I am, the progress from where I was to where I am now is just, I look back and it's amazing to me that I even survived what I was going through, because having nobody and having nothing really took a toll on my mental health. Like, I thought I was messed up when I lived back home, and I thought my mind was made wrong.
A little 17-year-old, you know.
And then I moved out here right after graduating high school, and it just, all of those were like amplified. And so, you know, that was pretty much the driving force, was leaving.
You know, transplanting it yourself, mm-hmm. your entire life at such a young age, you can do that at any time in your life. It's going to be dramatic. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you just literally, you know, went from almost one side of the coast to another, from a small town, mm-hmm. you said, to this fucking jungle, you know, that is absolutely bananas and crazy. I mean, it's bananas and crazy. Like, it can be, you can find bananas and craziness anywhere, but here it's just much more amplified, like you said. I love that word.
Yeah, I didn't, because, you know, it's, you're right, you can find, you know, craziness anywhere you go, but it's so different everywhere that you go, because I am dealing with a different crowd. I am dealing with things that I didn't have to deal with back home. Like, there is sort of a hospitality mm-hmm. in Indiana that, or in the Midwest in general, that you definitely don't get out here. Like, people don't care about you out here. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest thing, especially coming from the Midwest, where you don't actually realize how nice people are to each other, even though there are, you know,
shitty people,
conservative people that have really loud opinions about, you know, everything. But there is also that sort of neighborly love that you get. But yeah, so that's a huge thing, is learning how to deal with, you know, not being important
right.
to anybody. It's just, you are nothing. It's very hard.
You had to become important to yourself, and something that I'm really learning, and I can't begin to stress the importance of, is identity and being so solid in your own identity. And you really got a school of hard knocks mm-hmm. when it came to that. It, like, 17. If I had gotten that, I would just be like, kind of like just flat on my face, to be honest. Can you tell us a little bit about what your identity looks like now? Like, who would you say you are? And I realize I'm going completely off book from what we talked about.
It's okay.
I have guys, everyone knows I have a preliminary convo mm-hmm. With my interviewees, and like, none of this has been covered.
Yeah. No, that's totally
fine. Take your time.
And I would just say that I'm still figuring out who I am. Sorry.
It's okay. No, you're good.
I'm still figuring out who I am, even though I have a little bit more ground now. But I am figuring out, like, what it means to be a person, like an adult.
A human.
And to be a musician, but not to completely lose yourself in that identity, because I'm so much more than that, and I'm so much more than any label, that which is warning label. But I am way more than any label that anyone has put on me or that I've put on myself before, and so I'm still evolving into who I can be, and I think that I'm always gonna be evolving into a better version of myself.
As you should.
Which I think is really just a good mindset to have, because I don't like to stay stagnant. I like to constantly try and better myself, and then the product of that, it shows up in my music as well, I think.
Okay. How do you know? No, I like it. I like it. I believe that we should always be seeking to grow, because if you're not growing, you know, honestly, you're shrinking. You know, you get to a point where you think you know everything. And what do they say? That once you get to the point where you think you know everything, you really know, shows how little you do know.
Yeah.
So when it comes to your identity, mm-hmm. I believe I've heard you, we've mm-hmm. talked about that your sexuality has been in, you know, part of that growing up when yeah. it came to being in the small town. Mm-hmm. And can let's talk about your mental health through that entire process and mm-hmm. how it changed. Like you said, like, you know, it was harder to be, you know, there as, yeah. you know, as someone who's gay, but it's easier to be here, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's different flavors. There's the jungle out here. There's yeah. less hospitality. So let's talk about your mental health journey through also the sexuality journey, because that's a
yeah.
big piece.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, that is a huge part of what drives my music as well, because it's kind of my only outlet that I have to really be myself and be honest, because I find that really hard to do, especially going back home. But you know, that's kind of just a part of who I am. Especially growing up was difficult, but it was very like I didn't have to deal with that because nobody wanted to know, like nobody right. cared. Like they did care, but no one cared to, like, I don't even know what it is, like no one cared to.
Do they not want to talk about it?
Yeah, like yeah. no one cared to you know, rip open the blinds and, like, you know, actually let that in.
What does it mean to them for you to be gay?
Yes. Yeah. And so it's something that, you know, I'm constantly still trying to push for. And that's a lot of what still drives me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm constantly fighting for freedom, from, like, my mind, because mm-hmm. I can't control how other people react to me. But I can still control how I let that affect me. And so that's a huge thing that I have always tried to work on. And I realized that there's a lot that's been messed up. And so, yeah, I think that I'm just constantly trying to rewire myself. And, you know, just and let go of everything that I have experienced. And it's really just a freeing experience, to let all of that go. And I mean, I'm not letting it all go because I still hold on to things I don't realize I hold on to.
Yeah.
But the act of, like, trying to let it go is better than not.
Oh yeah. I love that active, at least trying to being aware of what you're holding on to and being like, it's really hard to let that go, but you're trying and it's going to go at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a journey that I have to go on as well with my family, which is hard sometimes too, which is a lot of what Roman Holiday is about. It hurts to know that I still have to have, you know, hard conversations and, you know, let myself get close to people that have not intentionally hurt me, but have hurt me.
Right.
So I'm trying to let myself get close and let down the walls that I've put up mm-hmm. around myself, which is very hard because I am trying to practice gratitude and realize that my family is there for me, and the people in my hometown are rooting for me, even if they don't support everything that I believe in. You know, we're gonna have differing views on things, but they are still, like, gonna support me in the way that they can
that right.
isn't going to compromise their beliefs.
It's almost as if we can be friends, you know, mm-hmm. without agreeing. And I think in the in the political climate, you know, there can be a lot of, you know, triggering things, you know, when it comes to that. But I think if you are not treading on literally someone's right to live, mm-hmm. you know, and someone's right to, you know, your on someone else's, you know, American rights, then you then we can have a conversation. If you're not like literally, you know, hating, if you're willing to be open, at least then we can have a conversation.
And
you
that's
know?
What's so hard is when they're your family, when it's right. so yeah. close yeah. to you, yeah. that is what makes it hard, is like, because they are still your family, and it's hard to separate that from like, but in the end, we are all just people. Like, yes, we have these titles, and yes, we have like these kind of, I don't want to say made up conceptions of like,
no, but no, it is kind of like, it is
kind of like society conceptions of like,
yeah,
this is your mother, like this is your father. And it's like,
right.
I do understand that, but in the end, they are just people. Like, we are just all adults now, and we are going to have different views of things. So it's like separating your family from, you know, we're all just adults. Like, we're all just people with differing opinions.
Yeah. And it's all according to your opinion is according to your own mm-hmm. experience, which is limited. Right? Because yeah. you don't know what your mother's experience is. Like, you can try to understand, but you're not in her body, right? You're mm-hmm. not in her consciousness. Like, you know, that's, yes. it's different. It's yeah. different for all of us. Would you say that, beautiful point, by the way, just gotta snap to that. Would you say that, your family was a, you know, with, and your town, mm-hmm. you know, and the beliefs surrounding that town, about you, did that make you feel, is that a moment in your life where you felt like your mind was made wrong?
Definitely. Yeah. yeah. Which I felt that way before, not just about like my identity, but I never really fit in anywhere in that town. It was very hard, especially in my formative years of elementary and middle school, to make friends. And to just like, I just never fit in anywhere. Like, it's so hard to explain, but I just didn't fit in with people at school, with, you know, with my family. I just always felt like there was something more. And I just had to get through high school and I had to get out. But yeah, no, definitely. I did feel that way a lot. Growing up, I felt that my mind was just so different, and the way that I perceived the world, it was more than just a small town, which was really hard for a lot of people to relate to, because that's all that they knew was that small town, and that was their life in their bubble. So yeah, definitely.
All right. It's just, it's different coming from, you know, being where I live. I mean, you know, the place I live, the town I live in isn't, you know, super big, but it's mm-hmm. still LA adjacent.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, to hear something from, for me, it's like, oh, well, sometimes I get scared that my best days are, you know, in high school, right? In college. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, I want to get the fuck out, you know?
Yeah. yeah. Well, that's really funny, because I did feel that way. But now I think about it and I wish I could go back. Like, it's so...
The nostalgia.
Yes. Like, I wish that I could relive my senior year of high school. There would be things that I would do differently, but... Yeah, I just miss being in high school sometimes. Like, my friends, the schedule. Like, I miss like football games, and I miss all the good things about high school.
All the fun things.
So it's so weird that I was like, I really wanted to get out, and I really wanted this freedom, and now I'm in this spot where I'm like, man, it would be nice to go back. But then I remember other things about, excuse me, high school. And I'm like, no, never mind. I'm okay.
It's like, yeah, no, don't want to talk to you, don't want to talk to you. Oh, yeah. You were weird. Not that class. Not this entire culture of bullshit that doesn't allow you to be who you are.
Yeah, not
the uniforms, which have you at your private school, you know.
I did. I actually went to a private school before I went to public school in high school. We didn't wear uniforms though. But that in itself really was where I felt like my mind was made wrong.
Really? Let's talk about that.
Because there was no real arts program there. Mm-hmm. I had 17 kids in my class. Like, there were maybe 100 people in this school. And so I didn't have any outlet. Like, I was learning math, I was learning science, I was learning language, like English, but I wasn't learning music and I wasn't learning art. Like, I think I was there for 3 years. I was 8th, 9th, and 10th, which really set me back when I went to the public school, because these kids, like my friends that were at the public school, had been doing theater, you know, since middle school and had been in choir and dance. And I didn't get to do that. I was doing stuff outside. Like I was in dance lessons and I was on a competitive team for 2 years, which was gymnastics and dance. So like I was getting that outside, but music, nope.
Nope. Like,
nope. I was not getting my fulfillment through that, like at all. So that was really where I felt very isolated. And it was definitely where, and it was a private Christian academy. So that's
same.
So, you know, there are certain things that I don't necessarily agree with that they taught, things that they, because I did spend some time in the principal's office. it was very that was where I really felt like there was something wrong with me, and it's where that all kind of started, where I started hating myself.